You know, I looked at some studies, Daryl, and it's funny, from year to year, sometimes it changes, players will get hurt more. But what I found interesting in the National Hockey League, there's almost as many injuries early in a season as there are later. So the later ones to me seem obvious because, you know, there's wear and tear, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So there is an obvious first answer to why you start to see some difference in injuries towards the end of the season or different types of injuries. The first answer would be that the intensity of the game starts to ramp up. So you see a little bit more of the acute injury. It's a physical game and things happen where, you know, no matter what, the physical contact will create a situation where an athlete, no matter how well conditioned they are, they can get hurt. But there's definitely a repetitive stress factor that starts to play into the amount of injuries and the type of injuries that happen towards the end of the season. And that's, I think, one thing as an Oilers fan personally I worry about with somebody like Talbot is, you know, with the amount of games he's played, there's a risk of him going through those repetitive type injuries. And these are really no different than regular life. So if you put your body under repetitive stress, things will eventually start to add up. So if you have a physical job where you're always, you know, bending at the waist and twisting, they can lead to back problems. People who work at desks end up with carpal tunnel syndrome or lower upper back pain from sitting. People who wear high heels a lot in an office end up with the same type of thing. So that repetitive stress can lead to small muscle tearing. And those tears, what happens is the body, in order to fix them, builds up a bit of scar tissue to the point where the muscles, joints, tendons don't really operate properly. And then we start to see bodies get out of alignment. And when that happens, and the body's out of alignment, somewhere else in the kinetic chain or somewhere else in the body, it will have to take that stress, that whatever muscle isn't functioning properly was supposed to. And all of a sudden, you know, you get a pop or a tear or some type of injury that A, either keeps the player out of the lineup entirely, or you have a situation where they talk about in the playoffs, a war of attrition. Some teams are just so beat up that they run out of steam.
Now, players, we know they train to prevent their injuries because, you know, they'll find things to do because they're very active. It's funny, though, that people who are inactive can have, you know, maybe they're not going to tear their ACL sitting at their desk, of course, but likely, you know, you have back problems that leads to it. So people that even are inactive need to be doing some things to try to limit the amount of injuries they have just at work, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I know I've talked about it on the show before, but our body gets really good at what we ask it to do a lot of. And so if we're always stuck in a position of being hunched over at a desk and typing at a computer, then all of a sudden we end up with that poor posture and pain in the back and the neck. And then it prevents people from moving. So they want to move even less and it can start to snowball. So it is really important for athletes to stay on top of this, but for the everyday person in their occupation and home life to make sure that they stay on top of everything.
Daryl Marchuk joins us from World Health. Now, what's interesting, obviously the players, athletes, whatever, you know, they're getting paid lots of money. Even young guys coming up, that's kind of what they're looking for. But for the average guy lifting boxes, sitting at work all day, can you talk maybe how important it is for them to do it? And it's not just necessarily for making millions of dollars.
Yeah, I mean, I hear all the time that people say, you know, that's great. Athletes can take this time because they get paid millions of dollars to look after their body. And I would actually argue a counterpoint to that. Athletes don't get paid millions of dollars to look after their bodies. They get paid to perform. And so what they're trying to do is take care of their bodies so they can perform. And most regular people with kind of your regular day job and regular home life, we get paid to perform. We don't get paid to take care of our bodies, but to perform. And you still need to make sure that you take care of your body so you can perform at work. So if that means you're somebody who's out on the rigs, you've got to perform there. If you're a construction worker, you need to perform. If you're somebody who's in an office building in front of a computer, you still need to be able to get to work and get your tasks done and getting to work pain-free so that doesn't keep you from completing what you want to complete. So, you know, To kind of really put a statement on it, no matter what you're doing, whether you're a pro athlete or the average guy like myself, we want to make sure that we can perform and do the tasks that we want to.
Now, you know, obviously the reality is most of the average guys don't know where to go to get that type of training. So where do you recommend?
Yeah, well, firstly, I'll talk about some of the things that athletes really focus on. And the one statement I like to make is that anything that can be done with an athlete can be scaled down and focused on with an average person. So first of all, do a lot of mobility training. So in the end, your body will find a way to do something. I think we've all experienced the time where our back is sore and it hurts to bend over and tie a shoelace, but yet we still find a way to do it. So really what ends up happening is even if your body doesn't move properly or something isn't functioning properly, your body will find a way to do it. It'll just usually find a way to do it where some other part of your body has to take extra stress. And often those points of the body will get injured or have a higher risk of injury. So lots of mobility training, lots of work on your core, which is really like your natural weight belt, whether it's in sport or whether it's in your everyday life. Make sure your muscular endurance is high because the body can't be strong or function properly if it's tired. Movements tend to become sloppy. And then make sure you rest as well. Without rest, we end up in a state where we're overtraining. And I know some of what I talked about was more general. And so if you don't have a good background in what to do in those elements, I will say get some professional assistance. Don't wait for stuff to hurt. It's kind of like the guy who doesn't want to ask for directions when he's lost, but ends up getting more lost. So be proactive, find somebody who can help you out, whether it's a gym buddy, some type of resource that you can find online, or obviously would love you to come to World Health. We have lots of people who can help you through this and certified trainers and different group classes that actually focus on a lot of these type of areas as well, yoga, mobility type classes. We have a core training class. And so the big thing is just to get that professional assistance to make sure that you know what you're doing and you move well and feel good.
It is funny how the perception of yoga has really changed over the years, isn't it?
Oh, 100%. It went from, you know, everybody just thought it was a bunch of hippies who did yoga. And now almost every high-end athlete that I work with has yoga or some type of significant mobility component into the programs.
Daryl, great stuff as always, man. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for having me.
Daryl.